Morning for Jesus Christ. We thank you for his love. We thank you for the Holy Spirit to teach us thy word. We pray as we look into it today that we might see those things that would point our hearts and our lives toward Jesus Christ, keeping our eyes upon him and living for him and glorifying him today. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to understand your word and the power to live the Christian life. We thank you that he dwells within us to give us this power. We pray we might, by faith, depend upon him to glorify Jesus Christ through us. We also thank you we have the Holy Spirit here to convict any unsaved person and show them that they are lost and they need a Savior, and only by trusting Jesus Christ is their eternal life. And we pray they might trust him in his name. Amen. We saw last week that in this third chapter that Paul is talking about two letters in the first 11 verses of this chapter. And then in the remainder of it, verse 12 and following, he talks about two veils that are there. Now, the two letters have to do with the letter that is written with the Holy Spirit in the heart of man and the letter that is written upon the tables of stone by Moses. And we saw last time that Moses' letter, or the Ten Commandments, is that which brings death. We saw that there isn't a law that could be given that could give life, but the law was given to show man that he is a sinner and he needs a Savior. We turned to Romans chapter 3 and began at verse 19. And it's very obvious there that the law was given to show man that he is a sinner and he needs a Savior. We'll look a little further into that this morning in the book of Galatians, where it says the same thing. Now, a person who is seeking to be justified by keeping the Mosaic law, I want to give you a little exercise to go through, and you might use this on somebody. If they were saved by keeping the law in the Old Testament, then show me one person in the Old Testament who kept the law and therefore was saved by doing it. Now, Moses certainly did not. He didn't keep all the law. In fact, Moses was a murderer. Wasn't he? Well, he broke the law, didn't he? Well, he certainly couldn't get to heaven by keeping the law. And he was the one that God gave the law to us through him. David certainly didn't keep the law. Even though he was the man after God's own heart. David was a murderer and David was an adulterer, along with a lot of other things. And so David certainly didn't get to heaven by keeping the law. James tells us if we offend the law in one point, we're guilty. Now, if David was a murderer, and he murdered Uriah, if you remember, he certainly committed adultery, didn't he? We all know about that. Everybody's seen the movie. Or most everybody has, and we all know about that. And yet the Bible says that David was the man after God's own heart. Now, how was David saved? Well, Romans chapter 4 tells us David was saved by faith. Abraham, you know, Abraham committed lots of sins too, and of course, Abraham was before Moses and before the giving of the law, but he was saved by faith too, according to Romans chapter 4. Now, if they were saved by faith in the Old Testament, how are we saved today? Bless your heart, exactly the same way, by faith. We're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. When we trust him as our Savior, we have eternal life. We're born again. When we believe that Jesus Christ died in our place and paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future, we trust him to give us eternal life and to save us, then we're saved. Well, there were people there at Corinth that Paul had been writing to, and they had trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They weren't all living like they should by any means of the stretch of the imagination. In fact, he is writing to them to correct them and to show them, to point out into their lives some of the things that were wrong so they could confess their sin and get back into fellowship with God. In fact, he didn't even want to go to Corinth because they were acting so bad that if he went there, he couldn't do anything but just talk to them in an ugly way and point out things that were wrong that were there. And so rather than do that, he just stayed where he was in Ephesus, and he just had a good time there. And when they got straightened out, then he wanted to come back so they could have some wonderful fellowship together. Well, in this third chapter here, he's talking about these two letters, and we were right in the middle of it when we stopped last week, and we saw there in the sixth verse, it says, the fourth verse says, and such trust have we through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of or from ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Now, this sufficiency here is talking about sufficiency as far as salvation is concerned. There is nothing that man can do of himself to be saved. Our sufficiency is of God. Therefore, who gets all the credit for our salvation? God. You see, I don't get any credit for my going to heaven at all whatsoever. I can't brag about how good I am or what I have done or what a wonderful person I am, how nice I treat my children and my wife. You know, I haven't beat her in quite a while. But that doesn't get me to heaven. My sufficiency is of God. Jesus Christ died in my place. Jesus paid for all my sin. And everything that's necessary for me to get to heaven, Jesus Christ did it. Now, not only did he provide salvation for me, but he also provides the Christian way of life for me. Our sufficiency is of God. And we never need to forget that. We need to remember that constantly and continuously, that our sufficiency is always of God, and we are to depend upon Him and not upon ourselves. Now, most of us are sort of a motley crew. We are sort of like David's bunch. You know, we just aren't real powerful as far as public speaking is concerned. Now, I dare say any of you or very many of you would be able to get up and speak before thousands of people and do it very eloquently, you know, and just really wax wonderful and just hold people in your grips and, you know, and just be able to sway them and move them in any way you would like to. Yeah, most of us, you know, we can sit around and we can talk about peas and cornbread. And we can talk about, you ladies can talk about sewing and cooking, and you fellows can talk about football and fishing. But when we get out of that, you know, we don't do very well. But you know, if you can talk about sewing and cooking, you can talk about Jesus. You know, we talk about the things that we know something about, don't we? Very few of you can talk about aerospace. Most of you couldn't care less. But I hope you care about Jesus Christ, and I hope you know enough about Him that you can talk about Him. That you can witness to somebody and tell them about Jesus, how He loved them and died for them and paid for their sin. Well, our sufficiency is of God. He can pour into us the power to do that, even though we aren't very eloquent. Even though we don't know about all the different things in the world. And any subject that anybody wants to bring up, we can talk about it intelligently. Well, I'll tell you what. If you'll spend some time in this book, you'll know something about something that's so important and so vital and something that so few people know about. And that when you tell them the simple truths of the love of Jesus Christ, they'll listen. And when I say the simple truths about the love of Jesus Christ, I mean it in exactly that way. Well, our sufficiency is of God. Who hath made us, and the little word us there has to do with all Christians. He hath made us able ministers. Now, this word minister in the Word of God is used in three different ways. It's used of the heads of states. It's used of preachers, Bill Boggess. And it's used of all Christians. Here it's talking about all Christians. And God hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth. And we saw last time how the letter, the law can only give death. The law can only bring death. There isn't a law given which can give life. We can only legislate death. But the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, can give life. And that's exactly what happens when a person trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior. When they believe that Jesus Christ was a God who took on flesh and died on that cross and was buried and rose again the third day, when they believe on Him, God the Holy Spirit regenerates that person. God, the Holy Spirit, comes into his body and he is born from above. He becomes a child of God. He has life. And that's what God wants you to have if you haven't gotten life this morning. You can trust the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again. The Holy Spirit will give you life. Jesus Christ says, I came in the world that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. And Jesus died to pay for our sins so the Holy Spirit can regenerate us, that we might be born from above, born again, become children of God. Well, the Spirit gives life. Verse 7, but if, and it's true, but if the ministration of death written and engraved in stones was glorious. Now, Paul is talking here about the glory of the Ten Commandments. And you know, a lot of people realize the glory of the Ten Commandments. It's a wonderful set of laws. It's a wonderful set of morals. It's the highest moral statement that there is in the world. Never has been a moral statement that would equal the Ten Commandments. And it certainly is glorious. And when old Moses got it, he went up there on the mountain, you know, and God wrote down on those tables of stone with his own hand the Ten Commandments. And when Moses was there, what happened to him personally? His face began to shine. Just glowed. And as he was coming down the mountain with those Ten Commandments, and he began to realize what was happening there to the people and what they were doing, he threw the tables of stone down and broke them. If he had gotten there and he had given them the Ten Commandments, the things that they were doing, they would all have been wiped out because they were breaking them badly. And the payment for breaking the commandment is death. And they would have died. Moses came down and he talked to them a little bit and he went back up the mountain. Got in the presence of God. God gave him the commandments again. And he came down, delivered those ten to the people. And as he was speaking, he had a veil over his face. He'd go back up the mountain. Now the reason he had the veil over his face, because he didn't want the people to see the fading glory. As he would give the law, the glory would begin to fade. Why? Because the people had broken the law. The people were not able to keep the law. So it was a fading glory. And so he says here, if the manifestation of death written, and that word written should be underlined there, it certainly was written down and it was graved in stone, was glorious, or actually came with glory. This Mosaic law came with glory. Moses' face shining. God giving them the highest moral that the world has ever had. So that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, or was to be diminished, or was to fade. This glory faded. His face faded. The shining there faded. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be more glorious? Now you see, the ministration, the work of the Holy Spirit doesn't fade. What does it do? It starts off dim and it goes brighter and brighter and brighter. It goes from glory to glory to glory. You see, the law does what? Condemns, condemns, condemns. The Spirit what? Gives life, gives life, gives life. One diminishes and one increases. And this is what God wants us to know. You see, the law says you're guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty. The Spirit says you're alive. You're alive. You're living. And the more we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, the more abundance of life that we have. One of these days when this old body dies, God's going to raise it from the dead if it ever does die. I don't think this one will ever die. I think this one's going to be changed. Moment, twinkling of an eye. By the way, If it does change and I just disappear, I'm not Houdini. I just happened to go through the ceiling and Jesus came to get me, and you better trust him as your Savior if you're left behind. You better believe he died and was buried and rose again the third day to pay for all your sin. And you can. If we, a bunch of people, just disappear during this service, well, you trust him as your Savior as quickly as you can. And you'll be saved and you'll have eternal life and go to heaven too. I don't have time to go into all the details, but just remember what we said. And you know, this could happen just any moment. People have been expecting this for 2,000 years, almost. And you know, if we've been expecting it for 2,000 years, then it certainly is 2,000 years closer than it was when Paul was expecting it back in those days. I know there are those who scoff and say, oh, they've been looking for it for those 2,000 years, and he hadn't come yet. Well, they looked for him for 4,000 years before he came the first time. But did he show up? Well, that's the reason why we have Christmas, isn't it? Because God showed up. He showed up as a little babe, and he grew up. He died on a cross. He ascended, and he said as he was ascending, the angels came down and says, this same Jesus that you see going is going to come again. Like manner, he's going to come to the same place. 7 years prior to that, he's going to come get me. At least 7 years prior to that. Well, that's another story. Now, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be more glorious than it certainly is? For if the ministration of condemnation be glorious, much more the ministration of righteousness exceed, overflows, abounds in glory. Now, here's a ministration. Here's a work that condemns and shows man that he's lost and he needs a Savior, that he's drowning out in the middle of the ocean, and there's no help at all within himself whatsoever. Only God can save him. And if this ministration that showed him that he was drowning was great, how much greater is that which saves him? Exceeding glory. And it does, doesn't it? And yet we have people all over our country today that'll tell you you've got to keep the Ten Commandments to get to heaven. You ask them what they are and they don't even know. They can't even quote all ten of them. And yet you've got to keep them. And yet we know if we break one, you've broken it. You don't have to rob a bank of $1 million to be a thief. All you got to do is steal one penny and you're a thief. You don't even have to steal a penny. You can steal some time off of the job. You can cheat on a test in school. You stole them. You're a thief. Now, I didn't make you that way. And I'm not making you a thief by telling you that. You were already one before I came this morning. And so don't get mad at me. You have to be mad at yourself because you're the one that did it. I didn't do it for you. Just pointed it out what the Word of God says. The Bible says we lust after a woman and think in our heart we've committed adultery. Now, I didn't write that. God wrote it. If we hate somebody, we've committed murder. I didn't write that. I just pointed out to you that that's what the Bible says. So you can be an adulterer. You can be a murderer. In fact, when I told you that you were alive, you hated me for telling you that. You see, you were already a murderer too at the same time. You're not only a liar, but you're a murderer too. But you see, there's a solution to your problem. Jesus Christ, he died for you. He paid for your sin to give you life. And that's the ministration of the Spirit. Look how glorious this is. Look how wonderful this is. It exceeds in glory. For even that which was made glorious hath no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. Let's illustrate. Here's a little boy. He's got a firecracker. Little boys like to make noise, don't they? They like to make noise. If you don't believe it, just go to any kindergarten or just go anywhere you see some little boys around and they are going to make noise. And when I was in college, boys don't usually grow up very fast. And we had some characters down at Mississippi College. And they liked to every once in a while, during the chapel services, turn loose a cherry bomb or a firecracker, you know. And that was great. You know, and everybody hee-hawed and laughed, you know. And they'd break up services for just a few minutes. And then the preacher would get back to the business at hand. They'd have a long fuse on it. Somebody would slip out, light it, or hide it somewhere, and they would We'd have the cherry bomb. Well, that was glorious because everybody, you know, got to relax and laugh a little bit. But one day, one of these birds came up with the idea of putting an alarm clock in there. Got it all set and had it set for about 5 minutes after the speaker began to speak. And he set that thing and it went off, and of course it continued. I mean, they looked for it, and everybody on the platform just scattered to see if they could find the alarm clock to stop. And it took them 15 minutes to find that thing. Well, you know, that was glorious. You know, one little cherry bomb, you know, it just went off and it was just for a minute. And it was all over with. But this went on and on and on. And of course, everybody began to laugh. And of course, they just dismissed chapel. That's exactly what they had planned on. Wasn't in need and having. You can't preach with an alarm clock going off, that's for sure. Everybody may be awake, but they won't be listening to you. We're out camping. We have a Coleman lantern. We light that lantern. And you know that lantern burns pretty brightly at night, and you can get around the campground and you can have some fun. And that's nice. But come 6:30 in the morning, and the sun comes up, and you know, you don't even know the Coleman lantern is lit any longer, do you? Why? Because of that which exceedeth. And that's what he's talking about here. We have the law, and the law is glorious. But the Lord Jesus Christ exceeds the law so far that it just completely blinds out the law. It just completely overwhelms it. And you can't even see it anymore. Now I want you to turn with me to Galatians for just a moment. And look at the 3rd chapter. The 23rd verse says this: But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore? Therefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Now, a schoolmaster doesn't mean a whole lot to us today, because we don't have any schoolmasters. Some people think the schoolmaster is the school teacher, but no, the schoolmaster was the master or the slave that took the boy by the hand to make sure he didn't go off and go fishing somewhere, or go off and break some ride some cows or horses or something, or just play hook in general. He took that child by the hand and make sure that no one came along and kidnapped him either, and brought that child up to the school door and shoved him inside the door. Now that's what a schoolmaster is. Now, after the child got inside the door, the teacher began to teach him. Now, the schoolmaster has a wonderful job, and it has an important job. But he doesn't have nearly the job that the teacher has, does he? Do we pay our school bus drivers nearly as much as we pay our teachers? Well, I should hope not. Now, it's important to get the children to school, because if you don't get them to school, the teacher cannot teach them. But once they get to school, then you dismiss the school bus and the driver, and the teacher takes over. Now, that's the law. The law brings us to Jesus Christ so that we can be justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And once the law has fulfilled its responsibility of getting us to Jesus Christ, then we dismiss the law and we don't need it any longer. We're not under the law. We're not in the law. And that's what Paul is telling us here. This exceeds in glory the Lord Jesus Christ. For even that which was made glorious hath no glory in this respect by the reason of the glory that excels. Oh, listen. Those who want to be under the law, those who want to stay under the law, they are just like a person who gets on the school bus and says, this is a good thing. Boy, I like this school bus. It's great to get me to school, and I'm not going to get off of it. And I'm just going to sit here. I like this bus. Well, we know that person's not going to get very far, is he, as far as an education is concerned. We've got something that's more glorious than that. For if, verse 11, for if, and it's true, if that which is done away was glorious, and it was done away with, and it was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. What remaineth? The Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God, the Holy Spirit inside of you, who pours the power into you. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have of God, and you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. We have God, the Holy Spirit, inside of us. And that is a glorious thing. The law could only be on the outside. And the law could only say, thou shalt not. But God, the Holy Spirit, on the inside gives you the power to do. To live. To have the abundant life. And this is what Jesus said. Men, when he says, I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. Oh, what an abundant life we can have in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful time. What an inner joy. What an inner peace. What an inner happiness we can have. Because we have God, the Holy Spirit, inside of us. Not being frustrated, trying to live for God, but not having the power to do it. Trying to live for Him and fail over and over and over again, as some of you try to do, and you failed over and over again. We have so many casualties in Christianity, it's not even funny, it's pathetic. They trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. They believe that He died and was buried and rose again the third day as the payment for their sin. And they're all excited about it. They even make a public profession of Him, even are baptized, identify with Him in His death, burial, and resurrection. Tell people that they have been saved. And they're excited. They go around and tell their neighbors how they've trusted Christ. Their friends and their loved ones. And then all of a sudden, the glory begins to fade. All of a sudden, something happens. And first thing you know, they're down in the mouth. First thing you know, they become almost bitter because they failed in their Christian life. They did some things that were wrong, and they didn't know how to handle it. They didn't know what God's formula was for providing for sin in a Christian's life. They didn't realize that even though we do sin after we are saved, God does not cast us out of the family. That God still loves us regardless of what we've done. He doesn't love what we do. And He will spank us, He will discipline us, He will correct us about it. If we're doing things that are wrong and we know they're wrong and we do them anyway, He's going to take us back to the woodshed, back to the back bedroom, pull off the belt and wear us out in love. When we confess that sin, when we look at that sin as God does, He'll forgive us. Put His loving arms around us. Put us back on our feet. Restore the joy of our salvation. A lot of people never know this and they never find this out. First thing you know, they quit going to church. They quit fellowshipping with other Christians. They quit reading the Word of God. They quit praying. And they become so bitter. And they said, I tried it and it didn't work. Because they were trying it in their own flesh, in their own power. And did not know that God, the Holy Spirit inside, is the one that pours the power into us. And that this that we have inside is so glorious. And so wonderful. And it's such a wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ that we have. That the old has no comparison. It's just like the little Coleman lantern in the great sunlight. Or even greater compassion than that. Like the little firecracker and the alarm clock. You know, the little kid, he shoots off one firecracker. That was great. Made a little sound. And so he buys a whole package, and he sets off the whole package. Bam, 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 bam. And it lasts just for a few seconds, and that was great. But that doesn't satisfy either, you know. I'm talking about the bad little boy that likes to make all the noise. So he goes down and talks his parents into buying him a drum. And runs everybody out of the house and the neighborhood. Why? Because he can keep that thing going continuously. Well, this is what we have in Jesus Christ. In the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us, we have something that's continuous. Something that doesn't stop. Something that's glorious. And this is what God wants us to have. And yet we're always saying, well, God, I can work it out myself. Now, if I need you, I'll call you. You know, if all else fails, then what do? Call on the Lord. We pray. If we can't work it out ourselves, we say, God, I've messed it up so bad it can't ever be worked out. Do you think you can do anything about it? And then he just comes down with one big stroke, begins to work out the details in your life. And as you begin to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, there's victory, and there's joy, and there's happiness, and there's peace. Well, why don't we just do that to start with? And then we can miss all these big chuck holes. We can miss all these mud puddles. We can miss all the bitter pills of life and enjoy the abundant life that He has for us as we have the continuous walking in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And you would say it's a walking. You see, because walking is continuous. Like the little bad boy, he wants something that's continuous. He wants that noise to keep on keeping on and don't ever quit. So he has to find something that he can do that with. Because his firecrackers, they can't keep popping them off. Just one's not sufficient. And we have a yearning inside of us to have something continuous. I just don't want a spurt of happiness here, a spurt of happiness here, and a spurt there. A little tidbit here, a little tidbit there. Do you? Of course not. We want something continuous. And that's what we have. With Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what we have with God the Holy Spirit inside to give us the power to do what God has told us to do in His Word. And as we learn to walk by faith in this power, we enjoy the abundant life. Let's pray. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning? Is salvation yours? If you haven't, you can trust Him right now, right where you're sitting. The Bible never said you had to walk an aisle, join a church to be saved. You walk an aisle and join a church because you are already saved. You can be saved in your seat. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For God so loved the world, that's you. He gave His only begotten Son, that's Jesus. He gave Him to die on the cross and pay for your sin. That's right. He gave His Son that whosoever, that includes you, believeth in Him, in Jesus, will not perish, will not go to hell, but will have life that lasts forever. Do you have life that lasts forever? You can have it right now if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Father, we do thank You for eternal life that You give us as a free gift. We thank You we do not have to work for it, earn it, or deserve it in any way. But it was purchased and paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We pray for any who are here this morning who never trusted Christ. We pray they might trust Him right now and know they're going to heaven beyond any doubt. We also pray for each one who's here this morning who is saved, who's trying to live the Christian life in their own power. We pray they might realize that it has to be lived by the power of God the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. As we walk moment by moment, second by second, in the power of the Holy Spirit, by faith, depending upon Him to work through us God's will, then we can have this abundant life. And we pray that every Christian here today might enjoy the abundant life that you've come to give us. Thank you for it. Bless each one here today. In Jesus' name.